Game. Perfect.
What's fueling beer fueled?
We're making it really quick.
All right, Ryan, what are you drinking?
I am drinking New Orthodox Indian Pale Ale B43, the new grapefruit that just came out.
Nice. B43.
Yeah, like
fruit
no,
IPA.
M43.
Yeah,
fruit IPA.
Yeah.
Nice. Fruited brute IPA. All right.
Brute IPA. That should be nice and dry.
Nice in New Zealand. Dry right there.
For sure.
Dan, what you have sounds pretty fantastic.
I went in the Benny's.
A little jealous, I'm not gonna lie.
I went in the Benny's to do my weekly rounds, and obviously, as we know, this is the lead up to Christmas, so they're fucking busy. But also means really cool shit gets to come out. So I do have some cooler stuff for some future shows. But today I have Pollyanna Brewing. They're out of St. Charles, pretty much suburb of Chicago, but they're widely known for a Chicago brewery. This is in collaboration with Goldfinger Brewery, also out of Chicago, I believe.
They are.
And then Benny's, which is the big massive liquor store here in Illinois. So this is an American country lager called Rustic Route, 6.5%. Pretty high for a lager. They even have the hop bill on there. So the hops they use is Cluster, American Noble Simcoe, and American Noble Sintra. They use malts from Sugar Creek, Vienna, Two Row, Triticale, Spelt, and Shit. And then they use a German lager for their yeast, which makes sense.
What did you say, Triticale?
Yeah. There you go, Triticale.
They're using Triticale. Okay, so Triticale is...
That's a very hard word for me to pronounce.
Yeah, it's a wheat rye hybrid. Specialty grain. It's a hybrid of wheat and rye. So
actually sounds kind of good.
It's very much drinks like a lager.
A couple of guys in the homebrew club really, really like that malt. So cool.
More body
should give some interesting depth.
I'm used to. Oh yeah. it's definitely there.
All right. I've got Urban Chestnut Brewing Company. I'm drinking a Czech Pilsner. So recently put Czech Pilsner and Porter out. Just no fancy names, no fancy sticks, just classic good old beer from Urban Chestnut. So more on that at some point in the episode. All right. Welcome to Beerfield. I am your host at Beerfield Hop, Chris Hopper. As always, joined by at Ryan Miner _ FFB at Beerfield Theory. Gentlemen, how are you?
What's going on? What up? What up? What up?
Dan, no, things are going pretty well.
Dan looks confused.
I was very happy. I was like, you know, who needs order? Who really needs?
Nobody needs order. And because of that, let's go ahead and preview some of these games for this upcoming week. Championship week. Not championship week. Sorry. It's semifinals week.
Semifinals week. Yes.
Yeah. Semifinals week. So, you know, we want to give you the best information we can. So let's just cut to the chase. You've got Rams and Saints playing right now on the Thursday night game. Rams are up 10-0 on the strength of a Puka Nacua touchdown from Matt Stafford. He's already got 138 yards passing with 5 minutes left in the second quarter. So they are trending relatively nicely. But yeah, updates on that as it happens. Doesn't look like it's going to be the same score fest last week was.
Yeah. They just missed on a third and short. Got, you know, fourth down looks like now.
Yeah. All right. Something we haven't done.
Catch anything.
something we haven't done in a while, we'll do again this week, is I would quick hit every matchup this week. If there's anything we like, don't like, et cetera, et cetera. Bengals Steelers. Kenny Pickett should mostly be back.
He's out.
Is he out?
Yeah, he's already out. They already called him out
officially. Okay, he was practicing limited. So
God, this week is his game.
It's a Saturday game.
No, tough defensive, a tough defensive matchup again. But, and Pittsburgh's not known to try to push score, so especially with this, with there being no Pickett.
Nope, no Ja'Marr Chase for the Bengals either. So Browning's been good, but this may not be the matchup to get cute with in any regard, I wouldn't think.
Unless you're looking to replace Tyler, or not Tyler Boyd, but Ja'Marr Chase, I'd replace him with Tyler Boyd because the Steelers do struggle against slot wide receivers quite a bit.
Yep, that they do.
And they also struggle with their own receivers blocking for their running backs, but, you know, it's okay.
If you, just, if you don't want to get hurt, Pickens, you just don't block.
Bengals are an okay defensive matchup as well, but, you know, might be Mason Rudolph throwing him footballs. So
it's not like it got any better when they went from, you know, from Trubisky to Rudolph. So
it keeps going downhill.
It just keeps getting worse and worse. We're watching the potentially watching the Mike Tomlin era come to a close in Pittsburgh.
We are indeed. Maybe. I don't know. I don't think he'll get fired for them being as competitive as they are, but you might be watching a retool coming in hot. I don't think
he'll see. Fun. Yeah.
All right, we'll Bills. By the way, that is a Saturday game. Saturday at 3:30. Yes. You've got two Saturday games.
There's three of them. Oh, two. Okay.
There's two. The Thursday game, two Saturday games, and there are three Monday games.
Yep. Three Christmas games. Yeah. Just remember, and it's a gift that keeps on giving on Christmas. More football.
So matchups are going to be pretty spread out this week. The Saturday night game is Bills at the Chargers. Chargers are without Herbert. They'll be starting Easton Stick. They did just fire Brandon Staley. So,
and Keenan Allen's ruled out.
Keenan Allen's
ruled
out
this afternoon.
So you're okay with Josh Palmer. He's got big playability. He should be the generally focal point of the passing game. If you have to run that back, if you need a replacement for him, for Allen or Ja'Marr Chase or whatever, you're okay with Palmer. The Bills side of things, James Cook's been on an absolute tear. But what do you do with this Bills receiving game?
You're still not playing exactly Diggs because of volumes there. But, you know, you got zero spots from both, you know, Kincaid and Davis, which is really all they're really reliable options. And, I mean, they won last week in such fashion that Josh Allen barely threw the football.
And that's
the running game show.
And it could be that same
total
game script this week. Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, it's funny because, you know, last week, the matchup on paper felt so much like a shootout. Like it should have been, right? Like you have two, you have the second highest scoring offensive football in Dallas. You have an improved Buffalo team, but Buffalo's whole script for that game was to keep Dallas's offense off the field.
That is to run
the football and drain the clock, which is exactly what they did.
And they did, but they also did a really good job of throwing the timing of that offense off defensively.
Exactly. Like they basically beat them the way that Baltimore would beat teams, you know, back in 2019. It's all based off time of possession and clock. So I don't know if they have to worry about it that much, but there's not only been really one reliable option for Buffalo, you know, when it comes to receiving game, and that's been Diggs. And even Diggs has struggled, but you're not going to, you know, bench Diggs because he is the passing offense when they have to get it going. Matchup looks bad on paper in terms of, you know, in terms of game script for throwing, but I feel a little more confident running Diggs out.
Top wide receivers generally fine in negative game script. But,
and I would even probably run it back with Kincaid. Like, I don't think Kincaid's going to throw off a little nugget again there, but
it is negative game script. Let's be very, very clear. Unless your name is James Cook, it's probably going to be negative game script.
Fuck, even Bills. Latavius Murray had some run. God, and Ty Johnson's being worked back into the offense for some reason. So, touchdown.
Bills defense, too, by the way, if you're looking streamers. They had a couple bad performances that might be floating couple bad performances, not last week, obviously, but a couple weeks leading up to that, not great performances, not great matchups. It's a juicy, juicy place to get double-digit defensive points this week.
Yeah, I'm assuming if you're in a league that has defensive, hopefully Buffalo was picked up off your waivers.
Yeah.
If they're still out there for whatever reason, yes, as Hopper mentioned, go scoop them up.
Next
How
game.
Do we feel about Austin Eckler?
I feel like you have to play him, but it's not pretty.
I mean, they should be in theory, right? If we believe that it's going to be a negative passing script for Buffalo, which means it's going to be a positive passing script for
the Chargers.
For the Chargers. The Buffalo has a better pass rush than I think a lot of the teams that they've faced so far, even with some of the injuries they have. No Keenan Allen. They're going to keep everything short. Easton Stick looked terrible, but you know, we're not going to get anything different. So
I just don't know
how Eckler might get it on volume, right? I mean, fuck, who knows? It was
he's been awful in the last four of his last five.
Yeah, it's been
well, but then you get into running
there
back
with Eckler, right?
Yeah. If you made it that far with Eckler, first off, congratulations, because there's probably not a lot of
people. I have in one league. I made it this far with Eckler.
But, yeah, I mean,
I don't know how.
But also,
look what Tony Pollard did last week against this defense. I mean, he didn't even get 8 PPR points.
Well, and I just come back to, like, he's so involved in the receiving game, and what else are you going to do?
Yeah, but he's not really anymore. He's not really involved in the receiving game
anymore.
But
what else are you going to do? And that's the hard part with running backs right now, is it's so thinned out with injury, timeshares, and ineffectiveness. What else are you going to do? What's a better option right now that is realistically on a bench behind somebody? Maybe Tyjae Spears, maybe Chase Brown, maybe Jet McKinnon or Edwards-Helaire if Pacheco doesn't go. But
he's playing. Not their full practice. I think he's expected to play.
Maybe Justice Hill working his way back into the Ravens.
I mean, would you really trust Justice Hill too either?
No.
No,
I trust Eckler. You're
trust,
not playing.
Yeah,
are you really going to go out and say I'm going to play these guys over?
I got one for you then. Ty Chandler, also a very difficult matchup against Detroit, but as who's also coming off of a career game against the Bengals, who's
I would play Chandler over him.
Would you play Chandler over Eckler?
Yeah. I would probably do that, but the point of that is that there's not a lot, and you're damn sure not finding a replacement level value on waivers. You may or may not have something on your bench, but it's going to be few
and far
between, right? So
they're afraid to sit the name. You know, it's Austin Eckler. I can't sit him. I spent a third overall pick on him. There's no way.
You got better
options. I think for me, it's not even. It's not even that at this point. It's
just you don't have better options.
Who's going to get you snapped?
No, some people
who's
still have that
opportunity. I mean, you know, if they do, it's, you know, I gave you Chandler. Who else would be on the bubble that you could, that it's not who you can pick up and replace, but
Zamir White maybe against the Chiefs. It's another tough matchup. Maybe Zamir White.
You got to see if Josh Jacobs is
He's not practicing right now.
He's not practicing still. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a solid chance at that. You're not doing Zeke.
Raheem Mostert, if you had him later, because I mean, Raheem Mostert was like a 10th round.
I mean, you're not benching Mostert at this point, anyway. Yeah,
right.
You're starting Mostert regardless.
What about Achan, who's expected to play in full? Would you play Achan over Eckler?
That is a good.
Would
one
you
right
play
there. I like
upside,
that one.
Upside to upside
over floor
and scoring and big play potential Achan over?
Yeah,
you know Eckler, who's going to play
at this point.
A lot of steps.
At this point, okay, I'm playing all the upside.
Okay. Yeah. So
yeah, exactly.
That's also true. This is also the playoffs where you're playing against good teams. Let's be real. Like every matchup you're playing against, it's not going to be some bad opponent who's got a bunch of injuries. Like
you're not doing either Bears back. Zach Moss is going to miss with a forearm injury. Jonathan Taylor's on his way back.
He's practicing full today with Pittman. He's going to play too. They're both playing this week.
Yeah. But, you know, the point is that, you know, maybe Devin Singletary, if you had him late, he's got another tough matchup. It's just you're not in a lot of situations where you have a better option than Eckler, I don't think.
No, not really. That's true.
So,
I mean, because you spent a high draft pick on him.
Right.
And you probably, you know, depending on how you did your team building and how you played your waivers, right?
Running back depth is hard to forecast. So unless you played your waivers well or trades well, and even then, running back depth is considered. You've got three guys that can start in a fourth of the maybe, and that's considered running back depth these days. So, I saw a meme on this next game that was the penetrable force meets the movable object. Jets and Commanders.
Is this
ugly? Is it good because it's two bad teams?
Are we getting Howell?
I don't know if we're getting Howell, and Zach Wilson's likely going to miss with a concussion. So you could be getting Simeon. Oh, God.
It's still the Jets defense. So it's going to be what, potentially Jacoby? Is it Brissett that's backing up?
Brissett, if it's not.
Yeah.
Or not Heineke.
Yeah, Brissett.
Howell. It'd be Brissett Howell. If it's not Howell.
Oh, my God.
This is ugly.
The over-under is 37, and they have the Jets by three right now.
Speaking of which, you make a good point about that Jets defense. I should probably go get Terry McLaurin out of that lineup.
And it is – nope, that is not the lowest game total of the week.
Ow.
Game total is not – there are not very good game totals this week. Tyus is your Dolphins, Cowboys, and that's not even – that's just at 49.5, which feels – relatively light for your two highest scoring teams this year.
Kind of hope Jacobs doesn't play.
He's looking like he's.
I picked up Zamir White in a league, in a semis league that I just lost Jamar Chase in. So I would be very fucking happy. I may never say this again. I may not be as happy as I am to ever play Zamir White. Ever, but maybe he's the next Kyren Williams, you know, running back I don't love that ends up being productive.
I could see that. All right. There's not a lot here that I care about in this game or care about. It's probably going to be ugly. It's going to be low scoring. You shouldn't really be targeting things. Hall should be fine. Wilson should be fine. McLaurin's scary against this defense. Like, I don't know. I don't have a lot to say.
I think the whole game is scary. I think Hall, as you mentioned, has an opportunity. It might be a trap, but Hall also fucking, you know, ducked last week. How many championship leagues, you know, how many teams with Hall are even still in it?
I'm not even in it.
Yeah, like with his inconsistencies throughout the year, too.
Let's
who knows?
Take the Austin Eckler discussion we just had and just plug in Breece Hall's name, and here we are again.
Because there is no real competition. There isn't even a Josh Kelly that's going to be taking snaps away from Hall. And
right.
Like, you're playing Zach. Like you're going to play Garrett Wilson. You're just hoping for fucking volume. You have an offense on the other side of the ball that's also struggling to score points. And that feels like an under 30 game. And it's like, do you really want to target that game?
No.
You know, for your guys, you're probably going to have to play Garrett Wilson if you're still in it with him.
I don't see a game this week that I do want to target is in.
Because there is no game
I want to target
week.
The game. There are teams.
I had this conversation with Nick.
There are certainly teams to target this week, but there aren't games to target.
The game is.
That'll look bad.
The two games that you're hoping, obviously the Dolphins-Cowboys, because you're hoping that that the Cowboys can bounce back and that Tyreek Hill was close to play last week, should play this week. That should be a game in which scoring is very much there. You have the two highest scoring teams in the league.
And the Ravens.
And then obviously
Niners.
Ravens Niners, but that's again, you're hoping two offenses will just be close enough where they're always playing aggressive. Like,
yeah. And really turning around on this slate, like your plus matchups, when I look at teams that potentially have plus matchups, the Eagles against the Giants, although the Eagles have been out of sorts and the Giants defense hasn't looked as trash, but Eagles got another shot at a get right game in that one. Chiefs against the Raiders, same story, right?
Offense, they're struggling to score points too.
Now Pacheco and Rashee Rice, very, very trustable.
You're definitely playing Rashee. And if Pacheco goes, you're playing
Pacheco.
Yeah.
But
you're playing both.
And you're not sitting Kelsey by any means. No. So, I mean, that's
you can't
one side towards the Chiefs, right? But beyond that, there's really not any. I mean, Bears against the Cardinals might be juicy for DJ Moore, but
I got a question asked today. It was targeted to Nick and I. We had a friend of mine. He asks, would you play Justin Fields or would you play Tua? Nick said Justin Fields.
I would probably
I
say
said Tua. I said Tua, especially if Hill plays. We got into, there wasn't really an argument, but it was more so.
I would go.
The guy Fields. Was like, what's that?
I'd go Fields.
I said Tua.
I think they.
It just feels like the matchup looks good, but
Fields and Eberflus are playing for a lot, and the rushing floor that you get out of Fields makes the bust less likely.
Has he had rushing floor this year? I'm Fields? Like legit asking because it doesn't feel like he.
Yeah.
It does not feel like last year. Yeah, Vinny
Rush. No, it's definitely not like last year, but he definitely has. It's
still there.
Some.
I mean, yeah. It's not the same level as last year, but last year was otherworldly.
Well, last year didn't have an actual wide receiver, to throw to.
Yeah, so
he doesn't really have wide receivers to throw to now outside of DJ Moore, because he can't catch lobs.
He's still right around 50 yards a game. They get down to the red zone. He's still a touchdown threat. So I mean, you're still at a 5-point rushing floor there. And it's a plus matchup. So I think so. And I think this is could be a solid passing matchup too, honestly. But also, where the hell did I just lose those stats at?
This two rush. I just don't love it.
It's been better the last three of the last four games. He's been up over 50 yards. His last. Let's see, that was against Minnesota and Detroit. Game before that against Detroit, where he was otherworldly at 100 on the ground.
May not ask him to rush this week, especially if they get up with the lead. Or the team wants to run, right?
Like they do.
Chicago wants to run the football.
Yeah, but they don't have anybody to do it. Foreman's not practicing right now, and Herbert's been dog shit. So, I would lean Fields, but because there's a world where Tua just shits the bed, right, against the Cowboys pass rush. So there's a world where that happens.
I'm not concerned about him shitting the bed because he struggles. I'm more so it's he doesn't get any touchdowns because it all goes to the running game, especially when they get down there. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
You like talking about Fields?
No, I'm talking about Tua.
Tua, yeah.
Yeah.
Ryan, many people ask me today about Tua. Like, a lot of them are even saying, they're going to bench Tua for Baker Mayfield just because they don't know how this game's going to flow.
That's silly.
Right, and that's
Baker
how
coming off of his historic game. I mean, talking about matchups. He has one of the best matchups on the slate. And Jacksonville has been torched by QBs all year.
True.
Yeah, and Jacksonville, like Lawrence is looking to actually miss his first career game ever,
which hurts.
Dating back to high school,
people need to realize that also hurts the game because you're not going to have scoring as much scoring output, which means
give CJ Beathard some respect.
But I can see where people are saying, though,
sure,
about setting Tua against Dallas.
He's Brock Purdy before
just
Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ryan. Go ahead.
Ryan.
Because people have short-term memory, and their short-term memory is it's going to be last week, and look what Josh Allen did. He didn't do shit. He just handed the ball off and then just rushed. And Tua doesn't have much, has no rushing upside. It's all passing upside. Dallas could be beat deep, but, Tyreek Hill looks like he's going to be fine. But could it be a Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane type game or Achane type?
Well, the hope
game.
Is that you have
that's
the,
where
those
I see
big
that's,
plays,
that,
dude.
The hope is that it's a screen game.
Yeah,
big plays, like, two and Wada.
I would still say Tua.
I think it's close. I would definitely have him in the same, the same ranking tier for the week. This isn't like lopsided by any means. This isn't like, oh my god, how would you ask that? Like, this is a very legitimately close call between both.
This is where I like to call
flip
a coin.
Yeah.
Let me wait to see when Hill is, completely activated. When it's said that he's going to, he's active.
Colts Falcons could be sneaky okay for some floor play, I think.
Depends what Arthur Smith we get. We need Arthur Smith that, Drake London get over 10 targets? Are we going to get Arthur Smith at the side of the run Tyler Allgeier and give him more touches?
I hope it's, you know, selfishly, I hope it's Arthur Smith that gets Drake London 10 targets. I'm banking on
I mean,
on
we
that.
All want Drake London, yeah. Fucking Arthur Smith, like,
I'm banking on that because I'm not playing Jaden Reed against Carolina, so.
He's the new Matt Nagy.
With their secondary at strength.
Yeah. That game feels like it could be like a good drunk or a bad drunk, right? We're going to get a lot of scoring because a lot of defensive turnovers.
Colts and
or
Falcons?
It's just going to be a fucking struggle, yeah. You know, JT back helps. And, you know, Pittman practiced in full today, too, so that he should be.
That really helps. Like
That's
like
fucking
that
huge. Minshew's been, he's been a sneaky QB, too. Touchdown to Marcus Robinson. Got 4 games in a row.
That helps no
Damn
one.
It.
I almost picked him up in your league. I was close. Yeah, because actually, I don't trust Pickens, and I don't have a third receiver to play.
I
picked up. I saw Pickens in, but.
Cupcake can't shit today. 8 targets, 3 receptions for 28 yards so far.
No, it's not all just on him. Stafford's apparently he's only looked good for Puka. So who knows?
And DeMarcus Robinson.
Apparently Robinson too. It's only the first 6 half.
6 for 82. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm not looking good. A more general discussion. Trevor Lawrence did not. Well, granted, it could have been because he was concussed, but man, he did not look good.
Wildly inconsistent.
I was watching him. He was all over the place. I mean, he was just inaccurate as all hell. And it seemed like everything was being rushed.
Yeah, and not only is he, but stats-wise, I saw something on X where they're comparing his stats to Daniel Jones, and they're almost identical.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's 48 career starts, I mean,
and it's like, and here we are giving Daniel Jones shit, and they're like, well, Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick. Okay, Daniel Jones is number 6 pick.
Because a lot of Debbie guys don't want to fall off of the idea that he was supposed to be the chosen one at QB. It's the same course we're probably going to be going through with Caleb Williams, so just be prepared.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you know, so.
I'm prepared on that for Caleb Williams. And I was leading the train on that for Bijan.
You're starting to see stuff out there that people may not think Bijan's as good as it may not be all on Arthur Smith to why Bijan's struggling to get his own touches, especially consistently.
Huh, weird. Never saw that coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's still egregiously bad that you spent the top 7 pick on a guy and you barely use him, but.
Yeah.
And the Lions find a top 12 pick on a running back and they know how to use them.
Yeah.
Finally.
All right. Anything else from this slate of games that jumps out or. Any tidbits to give? The Baker Mayfield tidbit was a good one.
We're just talking about Sunday afternoon, right? We're getting ready to do Sunday night.
Oh, I wasn't going through game by game anymore. I just got off of that because we just started jumping around. So I'm just asking.
Like, oh, okay.
Look I was at just the slate, if there's something else you want to throw it out there.
No. I mean, Denver, New England, that game just looks like it's going to be a snooze fest. So,
a lot of injuries to Minnesota.
Browns and Texans will probably be line. Browns and Texans will probably be fun, but not for fantasy football purposes.
That's how I feel about the Niners.
Minnesota's going to be
fun.
Should be.
Like Minnesota's got a lot of injuries on the front 7 right now. A lot of injuries. A lot of players not practicing.
I like Nick Mullins this week. I could actually might have to go pick him up because I actually need a quarterback.
And Ryan, depends what Detroit targeting. We get. Detroit's been so hot or cold. They're like the Katy Perry song. It's like
it's in Minnesota, isn't it?
Oh yeah, but again, Detroit. It's like they can look utterly dominant for one game, and then go on a stretch where Chicago basically outplays them in both games for like 7 quarters.
I've concluded that the Lions need to play on Saturdays at 8:00. Because after watching what they did last weekend, I'm like, this is it. This is how we play from here on out. We're playing Saturdays.
They are so primed to win that division. And yet I look here and I'm just like.
I want a shootout game. Like, I want this. Like, I don't like the Lions defense. It's not that great as people like to wish it was. They can run the ball.
They have no other pass rusher.
There.
And they feel very undisciplined. A lot of sloppiness when I watched him play. This like on both sides of the ball too, right?
Yeah, Goff, it's not clean at all.
It's been like they know they're better than most of the teams they face, and yet they play like they're just trying to not lose.
Yeah,
they play to play close games.
Yeah. And then some games you get like last week where they just fucking dominate.
Destroy them.
And it's like, why is like, this should be here almost every week. Like,
this is how you're supposed to play every fucking week.
Like, you got that coach that wants to bite off fucking kneecaps, and yet, you know, you get games in which it's just like, oh, here's another, here's your 10th, 11th penalty, and you're getting your ass kicked against, you know, Chicago and Green Bay.
Actually, let's go. I got one more player to talk about before we move on. Is Joe Flacco?
He's QB2.
He is actually pushing Cleveland into the playoff role.
I'm playing against him in like two leagues.
And hold that thought on the playoffs, because we are going to talk about playoff scenarios real NFL here in a
playoffs.
Little bit. So, playoffs. Wanted to keep this piece on fantasy, but we will get to that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're good.
I like Flacco for fantasy. The Browns' offense has looked more alive in the last couple of weeks than they've had.
Amari Cooper sure is very happy about it.
No,
oh my god, I had so many people.
Dick was sweating when
Flacco
was like, when Flacco was bad for like, you know, 42 minutes until the final quarter, and it was just like, oh yeah, guys, I'm actually good at this game.
And it's like a modern day Tim, like Tim Tebow, like, you know, you go in the fourth quarter, you have 3 points, like, ah, I shouldn't have started Tebow.
And it's like Tim Tebow if he was elite, right?
It's Blake Bortles.
Yeah.
Except without the garbage time, the game actually matters.
They're only down 10 points. And they still should have lost the game if Mooney could catch a football and the refs could call a blatant fucking late hit on a quarterback.
Right.
That clip, oh, man. I watched it. I'm just like, how did he drop it? Then you see all the clips come out about how Fields got hit super late.
Yeah.
How do you call an offsides on a wide receiver when it's obvious and miss a legitimately obvious late hit on a quarterback when you're preaching safety?
Yep.
Ah.
But
refs.
Also, Mooney should got that.
I can't believe Fields hit a 3-pointer from that far. It went literally right between his arms, man.
It did.
It's like he did everything right until catching
Except
the football.
Except holding on to the ball. He funneled
in the front for a tip.
He was down on the ground. It got funneled. Oh. He was right where he needed to be, and he just didn't catch it.
Somebody must have told him in his ear that you have to drop it. We're not trying to ruin our draft stock.
He'll be a Chief next year.
The Chiefs will give up a third-round pick for him.
Saints scored, by the way.
Yep.
Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah. Bomb play.
Deep bomb.
Yeah.
That's not the button I wanted to click. And now I lost my score.
No.
Internet's hard. All right.
News.
All right, kicking off PSA on fake X accounts. Is part of the Elon Musk changes to Twitter. I've seen some fake like Adam Schefter retweets and stuff like that. So just be careful, because without the verification or anything else, it's kind of easy to get duped again. Make sure you're paying attention to Twitter handles. That's my PSA. Because you can make your name whatever in your profile. You can make your name, your profile picture, whatever, and there's nothing policing that anymore. So just pay attention.
Just don't be quick to react if you see something come out. Vet it first. Don't be like me from a while back and be like, hey, Antonio Brown's gonna miss, and then I just misread the fucking thing.
Yeah. Just go Google it.
Yeah. Just be smart and wait.
Yep. Chargers fired Brandon Staley. We mentioned this after the beatdown they took last Thursday night. So that was a long time coming.
Godspeed.
Too long.
Who's their interim head coach? Did I miss that?
I think Kellen Moore is. Am I wrong, though? I feel like it's going to be Kellen Moore.
I thought he declined it.
I think it's AI. It's just AI doing it.
It's going to be Herbert. Herbert's going to coach from his couch.
ChatGPT, what play do I run next?
GPT.
Yeah.
Oh God,
this
no!
This sounds like somebody from Back to the Future.
It's gonna be it's gonna be some kid who's really good at Madden calling plays in the headset.
Real talk, do you pronounce this GIF or JIF?
Yes, I always say GIF.
GIF Smith.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Sounds like a creative character on Madden.
Sounds like a creative coach on Madden.
It sounds like somebody from Back to the Future.
My name is GIF Smith.
Who is
I'm 36 years old. I'm on here looking for love.
You're one of
GIF
those
Smith
talent friends
is from Farmers Only.
He's the outside.
He's got to be the spokesman.
The outside
GIF
linebacker.
GIF Smith was the sidekick in.
Is that a good thing?
GIF Smith was the sidekick of Biff Tannen, who wore the 3D glasses.
Yeah. He's the outside linebackers coach.
Okay. So he's a defensive mind head coach.
Like, even more so, God, man, they're going to have a defensive head coach.
Actually, there's rumors, and I know that rumors are rumors, but Jim Harbaugh is rumored to be going to the Chargers.
Oh, I can't wait for that not
Speaking
to be
of
true.
Rumors.
Yeah, exactly.
You see what your offensive coordinator is rumored to be asking for head coaching money?
$1 billion.
$15 million a year.
Do you blame him? Do you pay me to leave or I'm not leaving? I like that I like that call. Put your balls on the table and say how you want it.
I want that. I want Minnesota to give Brian Flores that money. I'm like, I just open, like, here's a blank check. Write what you want. He's going to get a head coaching job next year and I'll be very sad.
I'm sure we'll be here to support you when that happens. Aaron Rodgers.
You will be.
Aaron Rodgers activated from IR.
I love
that. That is freaking crazy.
To not it's play stupid. The rest of the season.
It's so stupid. Someone made a comment saying, like, cool, you're going to ruin someone's. You're going to basically, cut some roster bubble guy who's trying to live off that money to appease Aaron Rodgers.
Fullback Nick Bodden.
It's so fucking stupid. Like, he's not going to play. Just let him go on. Just, why?
This way just, you can practice with the team. Cool, you're going to ruin someone's. Okay. Thanks.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. He's back in the limelight. I'm sure that's what he wants.
Yes. He gets to hold the clipboard with shoulder pads on now.
He gets to practice. Part of
he could be a Shane Flacco now, or Shane Falco. What is that? The replacements?
Shane Falco, the replacements.
Yeah, Shane Falco. Here we go.
I love that movie. The movie's so good.
Keanu Reeves.
That's a top tier sports movie.
You can
argue a while for people out there that disagree.
I fucked up the names for a few minutes, but Dan said me. Thank you, Dan.
Me with names and being right just does not seem right.
No, actually, yes. Shane Flacco is something I'd expect out of Dan's mouth.
No shit, right? I'm the one that'd be fucking it up. Here comes Shane Flacco coming out.
Joe's cousin.
Joe's bastard second cousin.
Mecole Hardman designated to return from IR and practice in Bloodwood role for the Chiefs. They need him badly.
They need a wide receiver badly besides
they need
the
a wide
world in which those lions came out of Hopper's mouth is we need Mecole Hardman back badly.
They need a wide receiver that can work deep and actually catch footballs.
And it can't just be the Rashee Rice that does it all.
Rice is not
did
a
Hardman
deep
work deep ever?
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, I'm sure.
Hardman, he was always a
they
deep
need
dress.
Him. They need him
guy.
To do everything. He screen.
They need MVS to do something.
He's basically
fucking money.
It's
MVS has dropped just as many deep balls as Tony's dropped 10-yard passes that he was going to take into the house.
Just bad. Deserve, man. It's what they get for not investing in the wide receiver spot for the last 2 years.
And Mahomes throws it right to these guys, and they just drop it.
Yeah.
It literally hits him in the best spot.
And Rashee Rice is a good receiver, but he's not a deep guy. He's going to have the intermediate routes on lock, and he has, and he's done it really well, but he's not a deep guy.
He's not
a deep guy at all.
Yeah. It's a team that requires a deep guy to work, and we've seen him get, you know, MBS and Justin Watson open deep, and just, you know, it doesn't play out. So,
especially when it looks like Kelce has kind of also gone back down. And I know he's been hurt, but he's also looking like he's missing, like he's starting to start showing his age.
Declining, yeah.
Declining. Yeah. And they have literally no, like, they have Blake Bell and Noah Gray who cannot step up in those shoes at all.
No.
And they have none of these receivers. Like, MVS is just like, you can just let him go deep because he's going to drop the ball, you know, 85% of the time.
Even though he's open and you can get it to him and he's open. That's the frustrating part. Like, just catch the damn ball, but he can't.
And Justin Watson's good for, is, you know, 30% of the snaps because he's not good enough to start earning more snaps in this bad wide receiver room. So,
it's like, Hardman's about the only hope they have at fixing that this year.
Yep.
So,
they got potential to trade for Tyreek Hill in 2025. So,
come back home, please.
Tyreek,
he doesn't want to go back there.
No, he doesn't.
No, here he says he's a retired Dolphin.
He's got seven baby mamas to deal with right now.
That we know of so far.
That we know of, yeah.
Love it.
And he just married one 3 weeks ago.
Just keep spreading your seed, my dude. Yes, repopulate the earth.
The new Antonio Cromartie. Yeah.
The new Sean Kemp.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor returning from IR. We already talked about that. Tyreek Hill back at practice. We talked about that. Josh Jacobs is not practicing, but is expected to return to the field this week. Zach Wilson not practicing due to a concussion. Geno Smith is back at practice for the Seahawks. No word on if it'll be him or Drew Lock starting. Drew Lock after leading an amazing fourth quarter or final.
His post-game
interview was so cool.
I made dog on Lock, and that's mainly because of Hopper. But man, that story has been.
It was so raw. He's
more likable Jake Browning. Yeah. Jake Browning tried to be all like petty and shit after their win. Drew Lock's just like, I don't fucking care, man. Put that shit on. Let's go.
Yeah. Drew Lock.
Go get it, Drew Lock.
Yeah. Great interview. Good job by Lisa Salters and drilling into that and getting that level of honesty at him. But good on Drew Lock for being vulnerable enough to put that out there. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill taking first team reps for Will Levis, who suffered a sprained ankle in week 15. So Tannehill likely to start for the Titans. Randy Bullock placed on IR ending his season. Kicker news. You're welcome. Trevor Lawrence not practicing. CJ Bethard's going to be in line to start there. Christian Watson returned to practice in a limited fashion for Green Bay, while Jaden Reed was also limited. Reed's been limited the last couple weeks and played same injuries. Jamar Chase is going to miss week 16. CJ Stroud is still not practicing with a concussion, and Pickett's back at practice in a limited fashion, but not going to start this week. Anything that tickled your fancy there that you feel we need to expand on more?
Sucks to be if you need a fancy quarterback this week. And you're like,
year,
you guys
man,
a starter.
It's been
bad.
It's been rough all year.
Yep.
It's still bad right now. I have TJ Stroud and Trevor Lawrence as my quarterbacks, and here I am this week. I have no one right now.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. 17-game season, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Going deep to Puka.
Dropped.
It's gonna be close. Cause he was on the ground, completes the catch, and then as he's rolling and like as he's being rolled, okay, so they did really complete, but so really,
really,
really impressive
incomplete.
He's already in the next play though. 5 for 63 and a touchdown.
Yeah, this one would have been a big play. I'm surprised I didn't look at this more. I'm surprised the Rams didn't challenge it.
I think he
caught that, but maybe one of those run on the field type situations. They ruled it incomplete. That's a catch. I think that's a catch.
Yeah,
but what the fuck's a catch?
I'm seeing something different on my end. I don't know why I'm seeing.
No, they ruled it complete.
Yeah, they ruled it complete. I'm already like two plays ahead. Like
okay.
One play ahead.
Okay. I saw it. And Kyren Williams is hurt. Looks like he got fucking plopped in the eye.
Ow.
Captain Insano shows no mercy.
Helmets off. I mean, it is the Saints, so they have a storied history of over earning.
Are
we going to
talk about their beer?
Yes, I am drinking.
Oh, yes.
Well, you right around asked me about Puka's play. So, sorry. Anyways, I'm drinking Pollyanna's Rustic Route in collaboration with Goldfinger Brewing and Benny's Beverage Depot. This is the American Country Lager, 6.5%. Go back and listen to the show if you want to hear about the bill of the beer. It's got a lot of flavor and body to it. Obviously, you're gonna get your malt characteristics, your toastiness, your breadiness from it, the light dry finish, but the body of it definitely shines through than most of these for most American lagers. And it's tasty. It's a very well done lager. There's not much more to say.
And I had New Orthodox IPA, which is by Old Nation Brewing. Their grapefruit IPA comes at 7%, 65 IBUs, malt or pills. It says boil hops, Calypso, Amarillo, Citra, dry hop, Citra, Amarillo, Simcoe.
Calypso.
So, like, you definitely, like, grab the glass, you take a sniff out, you definitely get a heavy hit of the grapefruit. Definitely very smooth. Definitely not as juicy as you think it'd be. Like, I thought it would be juicy, but like you guys said, it'll have more of a dry backing to it, and definitely has a dry backing to it.
That's the brew. That's it's a champagne yeast Brutus. Is designed to dry things out.
Typically pairing it with other New Zealand hops to kind of give it a white grape type of body and feel to it. And dry ash.
White grape and some like bright fruit, but the brute portion of it is dry, essentially. Brute means dry, I'm pretty sure.
That's exactly how it finished. Like, it starts as a grapefruit, then it actually has like a grape finish to it.
Cool.
Very good.
It's the only brute IPA I actually like. B43.
I had one in a competition that I had to judge.
It was a very short-lived fad. Honestly surprised they're still doing. I'm honestly surprised they made it a year round. So good for them.
All right. Czech Pilsner from Urban Chestnut, and there's really not a whole lot you can say about Urban Chestnut's lagers and pilsners other than they're really, really good. Hop character spot on. East character spot on. It's got. It's not drying, but there's a water quality thing here too, even that's very minerally that comes out that is just absolutely nailed. Malt characters kind of crackery, bready, but not overly sweet or anything like that. It's just a nice good backbone for the spicier, pepperier Czech hops to shine against, which gives it kind of a warming feeling. So yeah, real clean, real good to drink. Hell of a beer, extremely good beer. So, good job to them. Finish is nice. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and I kind of lost where I was at in the show because I was intentionally jumping around randomly to just for fun. So, I think
we're gonna talk about playoffs.
We're gonna talk about the rest of the season. So, right now, as it stands today, let's start with the AFC. Let me get a notepad here. Piece of paper, something. All right, starting with the AFC. The Dolphins are likely to win the East. They've got two games on the Bills in the win column at the moment with three left. So, you think the Bills take the Dolphins, or do you think that the Dolphins are going to lock up the AFC East?
I think it's the Bills to lose because the Dolphins seem to struggle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Dolphins struggle with teams over 500.
You think the Bills are going to make out the two game deficit and lost three?
No. They get him in week 18. Miami's stretch is absolutely daunting.
Yep, they've got
Miami can lose the rest of the way.
Cowboys, Ravens, and Bills.
There is a very realistic world in which Buffalo and Miami are playing for the division in week 18. Buffalo gets the Chargers, New England. Dolphins get Dallas at Baltimore.
So call it. Who are you putting in on from the division?
I'm still saying Miami. It's very difficult for it's at home against Buffalo too.
I'll take the Bills.
I'll take perfect. Dolphins.
I'll just be on the back end of it just because Miami's have been losing out their offensive linemen have been dropping.
Okay. Well, two to one on this is a collaborative effort. So 2-1 on the Dolphins. We'll get back to the Bills when we talk wild card. Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. AFC West. Right now the Broncos are at 7-7. The Chiefs are at 9-5. So same scenario, right? There's a two game in the win column with three to play. Any chance the Broncos run down the Chiefs?
That feels like a no.
A reach.
Is there a chance? Sure. Do I really think it's going to happen? No.
I don't think so either because I've got the Chiefs beating. Yeah. I've got the Chiefs beating, not losing out, basically.
You get Raiders, Bengals, and Chargers. You get three teams missing their starting quarterback from week one.
Yep. Raiders, Bengals, Chargers, they could easily win out.
And Broncos. I've got Broncos is also very easy. New England, Chargers, Raiders. It's almost near.
They both went out. It's still the Chiefs. The Chiefs would have to drop.
Yeah. Yep.
Two or all three of those. I think all three given that dead. So
effectively. And there's no, I mean, you have to look at tiebreakers because there's no, it's, you know, they were split head to head this year. So,
yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and give that to Kansas City.
Yeah. Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sweep it.
All right. You got the same thing in the AFC North. Two games separate the Browns and the Ravens. Ravens got that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ravens are, they look like the best team in the AFC.
It's going to be like a
world
wacko for Flacco right now, but he's eventually going to come back down to earth and have a fluky game where it doesn't get over 300 yards and three touchdowns.
I mean, he almost lost the Bears, so.
Yep. All right, AFC South is your fun one. Jags, Colts, Texans, all at 8-6.
This one's insane. It's going to depend on Lawrence's health for me. I think Jacksonville takes it if he only misses this game.
So they got the Bucs this game, which they could end up losing. Then they got the Panthers and the Titans.
Oh, they're all tied. Oh, I forgot they're all tied.
They're all tied.
Oh, yeah, they're all tied.
God, that's right. I thought Jacksonville had a game in hand.
Nope, no game in hand. They are all tied.
Oh, I don't think it's Houston. Just too many injuries.
Case Keenum? Like Case Keenum right now.
Yeah, I'm real excited for Case Keenum.
So let's look at this team by team. The Jags' last three games are the Buccaneers with C.J. Beathard for sure, the Panthers, and the Titans. I've got them beating the Panthers, probably losing to the Bucs, and the Titans game feels like a coin flip.
So you need to go 2-1 or 1-2?
Yeah. I'm going to say if it came down to that they would go 2-1. Is what I'm going to predict.
Indy, Houston, week 18.
The Jacksonville and Tennessee in week 18.
Yeah. Well, Tennessee, yeah. It's more so.
Yeah.
I think Indy has the easier schedule. At Atlanta, then their last two final games are road games or home games against the Raiders and Texans.
So
Jacksonville's been absolutely dominant on the road. They're 5-1 on the road this year, 3-5 at home. So advantage to them too, also having two road games left. I'm gonna give it to Indy. I'm giving it to Indy.
Are you?
Yep. Baker, or not, I'm sorry, Minshew, same difference. Breeze a lot of life in that team. They're getting Jonathan Taylor back. Pittman's not as hurt as I think a lot of people expected him to be. Lawrence is entering concussion protocol. Their team has been wildly up and down this year. They should be the best team in this division, but I'm going to give it to Indy, and it's going to lock in homeboy's coach of the year. I can never remember his name. Shane Steichen.
Yeah. So you're giving it to Indy, Ryan. Who are you giving it to?
I'm gonna give it to Indy.
I feel like just giving it to Houston. I didn't think they were gonna win the last week. They ended up pulling it off. I think they can. Stroud, he'll be out again this week. It's gonna be a tough matchup against the Browns.
I think they
actually challenge the Browns.
I've got them losing to the Browns, but I think the last two games. So I got them 2-1 down the stretch. I got Jacksonville 1-2 down the stretch. I've got Indy 2-1 down the stretch. And then it's what's the tiebreaker for Indy and Houston?
Week 18 against Houston, right?
I'm going to give it to
Houston. That would be a fun game. I'd give that one to Houston.
I'm
going to
side with Ryan on this one. I'm going to give it to Houston.
Woohoo! Right. LFG.
All right. So if Miami, KC, Baltimore, and Houston win the division, your wild card right now would be the Bills at 8-6, the Broncos at 7-7, the Browns at 9-5, the Bengals at 8-6, and then the two teams that don't get in on the South for three positions. So Browns right now have that top wild card spot locked down. What's their remaining schedule? With Flacco. So they've got the Texans, which is a winnable game, the Jets, which is a very, very winnable game, and then the Bengals. I think the Browns are getting in on one of those wild card spots.
I see Cleveland, Buffalo, and then it's going to be, I think that's where you can see the Colts or Jacksonville slide in. Maybe Denver. I think one of those three teams.
Colts and Jacksonville have a game in hand over Denver, so Denver almost has to win out.
For sure, Buffalo, Cleveland.
Buffalo, Cleveland, for sure. I'm in agreement with that. So that's going to leave you with...
And Ryan thinks Buffalo's going to win the division potentially, so Miami would be in that spot.
Yeah.
As well, if that collapse does happen.
Yeah, so Buffalo, Cleveland, and then your last spot is going to be between the Bengals, the Broncos, the Colts.
I mean, Denver's got New England, Chargers, and Raiders. Away game, week 18 against the Raiders.
So they can't win out.
Denver's have a very, if they're as good as they've played through the second half of the season since their return to this spot, the defense has played incredible. The offense has played good enough compared to last year where they were the worst offense in football. Or last week, right. Again,
but then
Lions decided to show up.
So Denver going 10-7, though, then they need help in the tiebreaker realm, because if they do win out, they're 10-7. And I think Dan, from what you were saying with the Colts potentially winning the division, they would need to go 2-1, which would put them at 10-7. I think.
And then you're looking at tiebreakers at that point.
Yeah. And I don't know if the Bengals can go. Can the Bengals win out?
That's probably. I'm going to say the story's been nice with Browning, but.
No, they got Steelers, Chiefs, Browns. They are more likely to go 1-2 or lose out.
They're more, fuck, they could go 0-3.
I'm throwing them out. So,
yeah, I would too. And especially with no Chase, and Chase probably won't play next week too. So,
yeah. So, Broncos at 10-7, Colts at 10-7, Jaguars. I'm gonna go ahead and throw. I don't know what the tiebreakers would be.
I'm not looking that deep into it.
No, I'm not either. I'm going to assume the AFC South teams, because that division has better records overall, probably have the higher strength of schedule.
Is that the tiebreaker after head-to-head, or is it conference?
It's strength of schedule, I'm pretty sure. Let me check.
But, yeah, I think the South has a good chance to put it in two teams. I think you can get – it's just going to be – right, it's going to be either Denver or – interception.
Head to head and then division record. Strength of schedule 6, actually.
Okay.
It's actually division record that comes up next.
Ooh.
And your division record right now.
Jacksonville's 4-1.
In the division?
Indy's 3-2. Houston's 2-2.
What's Denver?
Denver is 2-2 as well. So they're all Jacksonville could, right? If they, they're also, again, 8-6. If they go 2-1, they themselves can find themselves a chance, right? They only have one division game left, though.
Does
Houston, or so does the Colts. Yeah.
Go Jax. I'm going to say Jacksonville.
If Denver gets the Raiders and Chargers for their final two divisions, they can easily go 4-2. Jacksonville has to do is win their last divisional game, which against the Titans, who have been bad and are officially eliminated from playoff contentions. So
probably going to be the most fun race to watch, but
yeah, should be
that third wild card spot in the AFC. All right, let's look at the NFC. Cowboys, Eagles right now tied atop the East.
But don't look at point differential. That's all we were last year about Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow.
It's a stark difference. But that's because Dallas beats up on bad teams and then lose to good teams outside of the Eagles, who maybe aren't as good as people thought. But
so the Eagles have the Giants, the Cardinals, and the Giants again to close out. They should win out.
They also should have beat Seattle Monday night.
Yeah, but they've also got that whole weird, like, Pete Carroll just has their number thing. I don't know.
I think it's more so the offensive woes are finally catching up.
Cowboys have the Dolphins, the Lions, and the Commanders.
Harder schedule for Dallas. They look better, though, of recent. So
I'm going to go Philly by a hair, and Dallas is in easily as a wild card.
Yeah, Dallas is the fifth seed. Ryan, where are you at?
I'd flip it the other way around. I think Dallas will win that, and then the Eagles will drop down to the fifth seed. Just based on what I saw Monday night, like the way Pete Carroll kind of played a better zone defense where they were trying to force Hurts to run and then game opportunity to run, but Hurts decided just to bomb it. And I feel like Hurts is going to try to play hero with his arm and just throw the bombs.
So that didn't make sense to me either. I noticed that as well, particularly in the second half, where the Eagles are completely lacking in intermediate game right now.
Yeah.
They're not.
Fucking crazy to me.
Because you have Goddard and Swift.
Goddard, Smith, Swift, and Brown.
Yeah.
And really it's Brown and Smith and Goddard working the intermediate scenes because they like to use Goddard up the seam too. That to me is fucking wild that they are struggling in what should be their best strength.
Yeah. And I even when I saw those deep passes, I go, that's going to be intercepted. And sure enough, both of them were intercepted. I called intercepted.
As soon as it left his hand, I knew it because I could tell from the arm angle there was way too much fucking air going under that ball.
It was like Jamarcus Russell all over again.
It was underthrown, and it looked like he short-armed it. But he wasn't being hit when he let go, but it looked like he short-armed it, put a bunch of air under it, which just left it open to be picked. And
you have your timeouts left.
Yeah, there was no reason for that. Their lack of an intermediate game just baffles me. But the remaining schedule is against teams that are absolutely dog shit, too. So
if Dallas goes 2-0 in these next two games against the Dolphins and the Lions. And yes, this Dallas is easily.
Yes. But
the Eagles have it easier.
Also very easily lose one of those two. I don't think it lose both.
Yeah. They could. Again, you got two good teams, playoff teams, and Dallas is this whole season, besides their game against their game 2 weeks ago against the Eagles, have struggled against teams that are above 500. It's been insane. So I'll lean Philly just because of the strength of schedule towards the end of the year. Philly should go 3-0. You know, two Giants, Cardinals game, and they have two home games. Like it should. I'd be surprised. I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I'm going Philly.
I'll see him going 3-0.
Yeah, if both teams go 3-0, then you'll have your tiebreakers in hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to beat the Giants twice, right? They
would have the same division record if they tied. If both teams go 3-0, they would both go 5-1 in the division with their lone loss against the other team.
Giants twice and the Cardinals at home. Like I don't see them losing one of those games.
I don't, but I can see a world in which Dallas goes 3-0.
I see a world where Dallas also goes 3-0,
which means that if Minnesota,
I don't see Philly anyway. All right, Niners easily in the NFC West.
Yeah,
yes,
they're the best team. 100% agree. They're the best team in football right now, playing out of
probably the Super Bowl champions already.
They should be the favorites.
They're
the favorites for sure. They'd be the favorites.
They already have a game. They're 11-3 with three to play. One
locked the division up already.
They're winning they've already got that division.
Yeah.
Lions have three games in hand over the Vikings. Are we giving the Lions the North?
Yes, my local Meyer already did.
The NFC North. The greatest thing about this is that both their games against Minnesota are in the next 3 weeks. And then their third game, which is against Dallas.
Minnesota has three division games left.
Yeah, they play Detroit, and then
twice
they have
in Green Bay.
The Packers in between them.
Yes.
Now, do I think it's going to be Detroit? Absolutely. Like it's hard. It's a hard way for me to see it, but there's a fucking world in which the division's up for grabs in week 18. In Detroit.
I wouldn't mind that either because I like having fun.
If you guys win,
I'm saying Minnesota just because of homerism.
If you win this week and beat the Packers, then the division's up for grabs. I'm going Detroit on this one though.
Me too.
The logical answer is Detroit, what I see, but the homer answer in me, I'm going and because of chaos and because we'll see if Detroit can, if they can lock it in these next three games. They just have to win tomorrow. Or on Sunday. They just have to win Sunday.
Well, so I just like to have fun, Dan, so I don't mind it.
Yeah. It's in Minnesota. It could be, maybe we'll see Nick Mullins, but
I love Nick Mullins.
I'm preaching for chaos. I want chaos to happen.
I get it.
I don't either, but
NFC South. Buccaneers and Saints should both at 7-7 right now. Falcons at 6-8. Saints currently losing, potentially going to 7-8. I agree this should be the Buccaneers.
They get Saints in week 17 at home, likely the game for the division. If Atlanta does make their run and New Orleans wins in 17, and potentially South is up for grabs in week 18 with Saints at home against Atlanta.
I think New Orleans is.
But I'm going.
I think New Orleans.
I'm going Tampa Bay. Right. They're getting their ass kicked.
They're
27-7
right now. Yeah, 27.
Yeah,
27-7.
I'm just saying. Even if they lose, there's still a chance for them. It's not guaranteed that Tampa Bay is going to beat a Jacksonville.
Well,
I love Baker, but you can get many different worlds of Baker.
With Bethard at quarterback, though, it's likely. It's not guaranteed, but it's likely. and it's also likely.
I've learned with Baker, there's no guarantee with Baker.
It's also likely they're beating the Panthers as well. I mean, I've got them.
Yeah.
They may not beat the Saints. They may. I mean, I got them at worst going 2-1 over this last stretch. They lose to, they're going to go 1-1 again in the next.
And Atlanta would have to actually, show up and do their thing, which.
I don't think Atlanta.
If anyone's watched Atlanta recently, they're not.
I don't think Atlanta's going to push for this. We're giving this one to the
I'm giving. Ryan?
Yeah, same thing. Yep.
All right.
Sweep it.
Wild card.
All right. We had two wild card spots left, but Dallas already going in on
six
one.
And seven. Yeah. So yeah. Dallas or Phillies, it's going to be the fifth seed. In this case, it's going to be Dallas for our.
And then you got a bunch of 7-7 teams. Rams are about to win to go to 8-7. The Seahawks are at 7-7 right now. The Vikings are at 7-7. And then the Saints are at 7-7. So you're basically, as far as anybody else that could jump up, Packers have an outside shot at 6-8, and the Falcons at 6-8.
Rams should win tonight. Should win next week. They have a road game to end the season at San Francisco.
We'll lose that one.
Bear in mind, Niners could have the number one seed locked up by then.
That's true. Could be playing backups. And they got the Giants. Looks like all playoff hopes go through Tommy DeVito, is what I'm seeing right now.
Seattle gets a Tennessee on the road this week, home against Pittsburgh at Arizona. Should be 3-0 sweep for them to go 10-7. Should be.
Yeah, maybe on the Pittsburgh game. 2-1.
Pittsburgh
worse.
Game. Pittsburgh will just play teams tough in general. We talked about the Saints. The Vikings obviously get Detroit twice and Green Bay at home. Two home games left for them.
They could easily go.
It's going to be a fucking battle. Vikings have game in hand over Saints. And that would be it for any teams vying for this last spot.
Putting the Rams in wild card too.
I think it's Rams, Minnesota.
They're getting hot right now. There's a possibility. They
God
play
damn it.
Is
it
the playoffs?
Could the NFC West really put in three teams? It could. Could be Rams, Seattle.
Could be Rams, Seattle. Could be Minnesota. I don't see it coming out of the South. So I'm really between Seattle and Minnesota for that last spot. And I think it depends on what quarterback Seattle goes with the rest of the way.
I don't think Rams are guaranteed, though, either. Again, it depends what San Francisco is at.
If
San Francisco is still playing for the one seed in Week 18, I think that's a loss for the Rams.
Yeah, but I think they're winning tonight, and I think they're beating the Giants. So 2-1, that would give them 9-7.
So then Seattle goes 3-0, at worst 2-1 with the loss against Pittsburgh. Minnesota's probably the one that's looking on the outside end if we're going off of strength of schedule and opponents left.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, for the Rams, right? If Seattle wins out, and let's say that they do leapfrog them, I still think that they've got a solid shot at just ending up in the seventh spot then.
Week 18 is going to be fucking massive for the last two. Like, it's going to be like last year with the NFC. It's going to be just a massive battle for those last two seeds.
Seattle got left. I know you just told me.
Wait, Seattle's the Rams got Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Cardinals. Tennessee and the Cardinals are on the road. Pittsburgh's at home.
So they could win out.
They could win out. Pittsburgh's probably their toughest match, but they're home.
What do we call it? So
I
they went out, they go over the Rams. I don't think the Vikings are gonna win out, but 9-7 still realistic. So between them and the Rams.
It'd be 9-8 or 10-7.
Yeah, 9-8. Sorry. I think 9-8 for them and the Rams is realistic. Who would hold the tiebreaker? Probably the Rams.
There's a world in it's like last year for Detroit, right? Detroit had to, Detroit beats Green Bay, but Seattle played a weekend final team and they basically got in because of. To play a bunch of backups, that could be Seattle versus Minnesota this year in reverse, where Seattle plays against the Rams play against a bunch of backup Niners after they locked the one seed. Well, Minnesota, so trying to fight Detroit, but again, we've seen this before since the one seed thing is only bye week team. Is that some teams, if they know that they're not getting the one seed, they may rest their starters, because they may not change much between the 2 and 3 seed. So Detroit could also be sitting their guys in week 18 to lock up that division if they beat Minnesota next week.
You're trying to wish
this
cast.
Week.
You're a wish cast.
I'm not. If it was me, it's going to be Rams and Seattle based on strength and schedule.
That's where I'm at too, but I would not be surprised for the Vikings to sneak in, I think is where I'm at.
No, I will not be.
I think it's
that's
Rams
why I wish Cass, because
I'm going Rams in Seattle, but I think that the Vikings absolutely could sneak in. I don't feel that way about the Saints or the Falcons or the Packers.
No.
So I think that you got three teams vying for two spots there.
Yeah. Ryan?
Dude, I don't know. I give up.
Yeah.
It's so like complicated trying to figure. Like I'm saying,
can we ask this question next week or after this game?
No, we will. I plan to just do this next week.
I feel like we're gonna learn a lot more after.
We're gonna do this next week and week 17 just for fun. So yeah, that's why I'm writing it down. I'm gonna keep this right here, and we're gonna see if it changes at all.
Okay.
Because I just see the Rams still winning out.
Yeah.
I mean, they have a tough game against in week 18 against San Francisco for the division.
I think we're all putting the Rams
not
in.
For the division.
Yeah.
So do you have Seattle?
I'm putting
or
Seattle
Minnesota?
In for sure. Seattle is my.
I don't know if I can put in Seattle, though.
Again, because it's going to land on week 18. It's going to land on San Francisco and whether or not they've locked number one seed, and same thing for Detroit. If they have nothing
Seattle
to play for to get better.
Seattle has those wins that they shouldn't have had, and they have those losses that they shouldn't have had. And you're like, what the hell just happened?
Same thing with Minnesota.
Yeah, like I just
the Rams are the better of the three looking teams, relatively.
Well, like if Seattle loses this week, then I can guarantee that they're out.
I don't see them losing to Tennessee, but again,
what NFL teams are a lot harder.
It's unpredictable. And it's Tannehill coming in. It's not some rookie. It's not some fucking journeyman. I guess he's a journeyman, kind of, but he was the starter to start the year. So I don't know.
Yeah.
And then week 18, Arizona, it's like, it's a division game.
I'm not putting much more thought into this. This is going to be all probably futile after these games. We're going to
have
a different conversation next week.
We're
going to
come back on this next week and see that for fun. This is where we're at 3 weeks out. So, all right.
Yeah, this is definitely fun going back and forth with it, but it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, nobody knows. It's fun to cast the scenarios out there and see, but just part of being a fan.
Absolutely.
I enjoy it. But the Giants, Commanders, Cardinals, Bears, Panthers all have no shot. Jets, Patriots, Chargers, and Titans. AFC is just stronger. All right, that's the show. Thank you all for tuning in. Catch you next week.
See ya.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Damn. Next week is our last fantasy football regular season episode ever.
So bittersweet. But I got to go to the bathroom.
See ya.
So we'll talk about it.
I was this week. Oh, wait.